envelope information about this vessel.
Hey, Joel. Thanks for stopping by.
Cut your piece off! Wait a minute!
Where did you get that crazy talk from?
Well, I don't know if you remember or not, but two episodes ago, I think, or the last episode posted, mm-hmm. we had, playing in the background, the song from Teenage Hunger
Mutant. Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Thank you. And it was Master Shake with Nashville Pussy, and they played Face Omelette, and Master Shake singing, and the opening lyrics I haven't been able to get out of my mind for the past 3 weeks. It's just, I don't know what it is, but it's like the longer it sits in there.
Read it?
You should read them, what you got so far. You got this from listening to the song.
Yeah, I've been transcribing it. I'll cut your face off with my knife. I'll savor your dreams. I'll feed your face to my dirty goat. And take it out to the street. Slicing your face is like a dream. Slicing your face was like a dream. My bloody whore king in the kingdom of trolls controls your throat.
Funny thing is that King Diamond wishes he could write like that.
Yeah, he never came close. There'll be more lyrics.
He had the persona, and he has the vocal control.
You know, this song just needs to be out there.
I think it does.
You know, so
I think
you can
be a hit.
You can search Face Omelette on your Google, and what you should do is just do Face Omelette Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I found it, the video from the DVD online.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's one way people can get into the Face Omelette.
I did a Face Omelette search, and I got all this weird porn stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't get it from I think I found one from one of the torrent sites.
They're
the ones that put out video content or something, say if you watch TV, I guess. I guess that's a torrent thing. BitTorrents.
Yeah. And if you can't find it that way, rent the movie or buy the movie. I mean... That's one of the best ways to hear it.
Support the Aqua Teen Hunger Force for the classic rock that it is. Classic metal, really. It's not classic rock. It's classic metal.
It is classic metal.
It's very metal. And you know what? There is something you know about Nashville Pussy that the audience does not know about
Few
Joel.
Few people know about Nashville Pussy.
Few people
Pussy.
Know.
Or
well, you
about have, me,
you're connected to them.
Well, very, very lightly. That tendril of connectiveness is flimsy at best. However, when I was living in Austin,
it's a wet noodle of a tendril.
Exactly, and it could break any. It's probably already broken, but it's just there, kind of decomposing, drying to the sink, as it were, until someone comes and scrubs it away. It will be there.
Yeah.
when I was living in Austin, Texas, and dating this girl named Corey, this amazing deliciously, absurdly insane, crazy, yet fun and tender, you know, that kind of person who makes you go, I must be insane for even being with this person.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you knew what you're getting into. So it's like, well, out of the whole experience, though, she had a lot of friends in Austin, and there were a lot of and Austin known for its, like, you know, music and art and, you know, just freak scene. It's got a freak scene, if you will. And through this freak scene, I met this guy named Jeremy, who at the time was just, you know, just a young and fresh face. He didn't look more than 17. I don't think he was even drinking age when I knew him. And this was back in 97, 98. And, or maybe it was actually before that. Now that I think about it, it might have been 90. It was actually 94, 95.
Wow.
And,
that is some heavy backstory.
But I mean, he was, back then, he was just bumming around, sleeping on couches and whatnot.
You're like Charlie Kaufman. You totally wrote yourself into.
Well, I remember I asked him one night at a party where we were always at the same parties and stuff. And I was like, you know, well, and I just made a beer run with him. And I was like, hey, well, what do you do? And he's like, you know, I play drums, man. And I was like, you play drums? I mean, in a town of, you know, a thousand bands and a thousand drummers and, you know, and everything
and
else.
A thousand, like, musical fest.
And it's Austin, Texas, where nothing really breaks out. I was kind of like, yeah, you play drums. And he played for a couple different bands at the time, like, who didn't? And I was like, okay, great. And then I remember one day someone told me, yeah, he disappeared. And someone said, yeah, last time Nashville Pussy came through town, they were, like, looking for a new drummer. And he, like, knew somebody or whatever, like, got hooked up to play with them or audition. I don't know how it went, but next thing you knew, he was Nashville Pussy's drummer and just gone. Just, you know, on the road constantly doing the Nashville Pussy thing. And
Joel,
they've been doing that for, like, what, 12 years now?
I guess. I saw him, I think, like, 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, if this happened, you know, 10 years ago.
I saw him 6 years ago in Rochester. They were okay.
I saved your message, by the way.
Did you? I got another message from Dean.
Did you?
Yeah, so we have another.
I saved Dean. The one where you're from. I'm in the depot in Richmond.
Oh, that one?
Yeah, because I was just kind of like, what?
I'm waiting for the train. Yeah, I went to. So that's enough about that. So Dean, the other Be Brave Bold Robot phone voicemail.
Well, that'll be nice to have.
Always amusing.
Always amusing. I haven't even heard this new one, so that'll be nice for me.
Just got this. Actually, the fucker woke me up today, calling me back. And he's like, I'm on my way to my cubicle. And you can hear the melancholy, you know. He's sort of happy to have the job, but
at the same time, you know, the job sucks.
Trudging into work. I know this is Sacramento, California, where it's probably not going to start raining for another month and a half.
Unfortunately.
But I felt pouring rain in his voice.
It looks like it might rain tonight.
Okay. Well, it's a little overcast, but I can feel the pouring rain in his voice, you know, like, you know that scene where someone goes into work and they're having a rough day or something,
and they're
soaking wet, and they bust into their lousy office where they hate working for the state of California. Maybe, I don't know if any California employees listen. You know, I'm putting words in Dean's mouth, but it's, you know, he had a case Tuesday. It was Tuesday.
Let me tell you something. Every state I've ever been to, state employees all feel the same way. It seems like.
Yeah.
They're grateful for what they get out of the job, but at the same time, the job sucks.
And money and some work. And health benefits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it's hard to get fired.
Yeah.
And it's not just, like, lack of job performance that gets you fired. Yeah. You have to like, kill your supervisor in a bloodbath at the office and then, you know, sit waking.
Then they'll have a review panel.
That's what I'm saying.
Then the review panel will go over it. Like,
you might be suspended without pay.
Our justice system isn't really good enough for your state job. The crime conviction will be a factor in determining whether or not you lose your employee. Fucking unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
But I'm exactly sure. I would bet money that that's what they do. What little that I have, I bet that's how they do it. Well, there is the shotgun to the head, you know. I think they were going to let Tukey Williams run the state fucking be Parks Department guy until they put him in the freaking...
Until that little mishap?
Yeah, until that little mishap with the what do they call that when you freaking... with the lethal injection?
I don't know what they call that.
Well, he's gotten 5 appeals, so, you know, things are looking up for Tukey. I was thinking about that today, just the death... or somebody was talking to me about jails, and I just think about, like, Tukey Williams and all those fucking assholes that we're begging to not have this dude get the lethal injection. And it's like, do you guys know? I mean, there's all about the sanctity of life. And there's funny dichotomies in the world. Like say, you say me and the conservative side are more war hawkish maybe in a way, but we're also anti-abortion, where the abortionists don't want the murderers.
Right.
To get killed themselves, to pay the price for their crimes. And I guess but it's okay to kill, you know, a defenseless embryo to remove it from its habitat. However,
all death is okay.
Killing someone. Well, there you go. See, you don't have the
It's God's divine. If God has a divine plan, it's all part of God's divine plan.
You're not tied up, you know, in that moral political dichotomy that, you know, is mainstream politics. And I never expected that out of you. But, you know, I digressed from where we were talking about to state workers to...
Can I add something while we're talking about that really quick?
I think we're done talking about it.
Well, can I add something really quick? So
I don't know why I thought about two
people. Let me just add something really quickly.
But he shot four people, like, basically in the head with a shotgun. And people wanted him to not get lethal injection. I don't know what
you know, they're probably wearing halter tops, thus asking for it.
Yeah. He did write a children's book, though.
That's what I'm saying. See, I mean, he's got to have a heart of gold, right? Isn't he the killer with the heart of gold?
This can be the... in a California prison, even a murderer can write a children's book. But getting a better lawyer, I don't know.
You know, now see, if that translated into more killers writing children's books just to get off of something, that'd be impressive.
Yeah.
Just because I'd love to read some of the children's books these guys write.
Wow, it's like, you know, it's like you throw a pebble in a water and that ripple. We all throw our murderous pebbles into the water. That maybe that ripple effect can someday
ripple bigger.
I think it would have been funny to put a hang in there poster.
Hang in
there. In Tukey's cell. Little cat on the branch.
Hang in there.
Here you go, Tukey. Now, if anything happens to this cat, solitary for you.
I remember one time I made some food at my parents' house for a party, and people were like, man, you should, I mean, because some of the sauces and dips that I made and dressings were like, you got it, you should market this stuff. And I'm like, do you guys realize we live in California, right?
Yeah.
I don't have the resources, financial resources,
to market in the biggest market.
Not just the marketing part. I'm just talking about the licensing and the wherewithal that you have to go through to have a commercial kitchen that properly does what it's supposed to do by the agreements through the state.
There's a thin line between complimentary and stupid.
Complimentary and stupid? Well, exactly.
Because they're trying to compliment you, and you're like, why do you put these things in my head? How am I going to, you know? I don't even have a kitchen yet.
Exactly.
If I possibly had a kitchen that I ran myself.
I live in a room in my parents' house. Yeah. I mean, what the fuck are you saying?
Yeah.
You should do something with it. Yeah. What are you saying?
Yeah. Well, that's some great encouragement there.
I mean, while it's a compliment, like you said.
I'll just call Wolfgang Puck, see what he's doing. Maybe work. Maybe want to work with a guy
exactly.
who doesn't know who lives in his parents' house.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, yeah. High school dropout, DUI, fucking, you know, shifted from job to job. Yeah.
I think I got a few steps to make before I market sauces. I don't know anything about additives.
I don't want to make my living in food, and I don't know anything about that, about making something jarable to where it's going to stay and like be able to sell it on a shelf.
I have a friend who does work in that.
You know what I'm saying, though.
I know a guy, though.
Yeah, but I know a guy.
I know a guy. No, but I do know a guy.
It's funny, though. The way you're like, I know a guy.
I'm thinking, but I do know a guy that jars sauces.
But I'm just saying, it's like, you know...
He's quality control for...
For someone to say, though, for someone to say, hey, I like what you're doing, is one thing. But someone's going, you should do something about that. It's like, you know, do you understand what you're suggesting I just do?
You should go, have you ever seen that movie, The Graduate? Did any of it sink in when those guys were talking to Ben about everything he should do? And he's like, yeah, great, I'm not really listening. Because, you know, I just got done doing something.
Exactly.
Kind of like bored with the whole fucking shitload right now, okay?
He was doing something, all right.
I'm going to go have some confusing relationships with a mother and daughter.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. See, then you walk into that hole, you know, and that's something I wonder. I always have a problem with this when I watch.
But see, what I was hinting to is, did you have sex with any of your parents' friends?
Have I lately? No. Will I soon? Probably not.
All right. Well, I think they're a little beyond their sexual attractiveness.
Well, the whole...
Hey, your stepmom's a cute-looking older lady, okay? But there's that whole older thing, and much like her friends... Oh, God, your parents' friends... Was it your aunt's?
Which ones?
The one-upper sisters.
Oh, the one-upper sisters? Yeah, those are my aunts.
They drink and one-up each other all day long.
Yep.
They're all right. They're not as funny as they think they are.
No, but
the fact that their outgoing behavior...
The fact they're willing to say the things they do
makes it funnier.
Yeah, adds points, without a doubt.
I always wonder if I cross that line. That's like the whole thing. I'm a little shy about comedy. I'm like, I'm going to be laughed at...
But see, when you do comedy,
you
want to
be laughed
though,
with, and sometimes you know you're being laughed at, but it's only if you're doing it on purpose. And you want to know when you're purposely being laughed at or when you're being laughed with.
While I do agree with you, I think when you're on there on stage, though, getting A, the laughs, and B, getting any kind of positive response, you know what I mean? Whether they're laughing at or with is a good thing for a career.
There are some comedians that just get laughed at, and I call those physical comedians. Like, I can fall down, and that's hilarious. And then you wonder, like, that's how Chevy Chase made a lot of his. And then you wonder why he just went away.
But he was funnier than that.
Yes. But it ended.
He's not
a funny guy anymore.
I won't stop liking
Fletch.
It's
not fun. It's not funny. Yeah.
There's something making noise.
It's the computer.
Oh.
In your mouth.
Well, I meant outside of my mouth, not me, not you. I meant something.
In the vicinity. So what did I do?
Why the fuck were you in Richmond at a train station in Richmond?
Because I was looking for the most boring place in California.
What the fuck is that?
No, I was returning from San Francisco, which I decided to take the train down on Saturday to go do my other podcast, the Sean O and Hefe Show with Sean O. He was home alone. His wife and child were in San Diego. She took their son on her work assignment. She's now doing the new Yahoo Personals marketing advertising blitz because I guess they must be getting schooled by Match.com and...
whoever, yeah.
Yeah. And but also because of that, she has a new job in Philadelphia, which means Sean O is leaving in about a month.
He is?
Yeah.
They're going to move to Philadelphia?
Yeah, I saw a picture of the house. And,
wow.
Yep.
What did you think about that?
Yeah, not really thrilled.
Not really thrilled?
Kind of like my own connection in San Francisco, you know?
No, what does he feel about that?
Oh, I'm sure he's probably pretty happy about it.
Really? Does he not like San Francisco?
No. Yeah, he loves certain parts of it, but he hates... Other completely hates is like we briefly just on the other show, which you can all listen to at SeanOnHeavy.com, but he's like, they have like 5 gay pride festivals. Why do they need so many gay pride festivals in a city where they don't care if you're gay? What's the point, you know? And it's like, I didn't want to, like, dude, they're just trying to sell shit and make money. I mean, I'm like, you know, who cares, you know? And then dudes with hairy butts get to wear assless chaps and feel the breeze on their cheeks. You know? That's apparently what goes on there.
Well, yeah.
But it's also just like he's annoyed at really, because some stuff's just super annoying there. And I don't know.
Well,
then he also likes, you know, he likes music and he was in 2 bands, finally, after living there for years and being in no bands. As he's getting to the... and he must really love his wife, because she rips him away from something good he's got going. That's twice now. And I think Pamela's great, too, but it's kind of, you know, her career... she makes more money.
She's got the career that's making the money.
So, yes.
I mean, a guy would ask the woman to do the same thing.
Yeah. But it's just like he had his thing that he liked doing in New York City. Oh, and he's been painting, which he fucked. he was done painting exteriors and doing all that crap work, you know, the mindless labor. I mean, once you learn how to paint, then right. you don't really think about it anymore because you already know what you're doing. And then he moved to San Francisco and he had to do that, you know, because, you know, there's probably no shortage of interior decorators in San Francisco.
I don't think so.
So not easy, the easiest market for him to break into, because he was redesigning commercial restaurant bar properties and stuff, so I don't know, color.
He was doing interior design and stuff. He wasn't just painting. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't cleaning up paintbrushes.
Right, and he wasn't taping shit. And,
yeah.
But, I hate to say it, you know, it's like one of those things where you...
But that was his interest, along with being a singer in a band. So now he got that going within two bands where he actually makes a little bit of money, you know, but a lot of effort, but, you know, eventually it might, you know, work up good for him. But now he's leaving those. But Philadelphia apparently is the hottest scene right now for music, and he lives an hour away from the Jersey Shore, which is the cover band capital.
Of the world. They do have a good scene in Philadelphia. All I can say, though, is, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, well, if you don't want to keep moving around, then... You got to make it happen to where...
No, he just likes to freaking bitch.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I'm sure he's, you know... I think he's all right with it, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure he's fine with it.
He wants to move back east. He likes New York City better.
I know he does.
He likes all that shit. So, I guess this is good for him. It just sucks for me. But she said it wasn't. Or who said that's what it was about?
Yeah. So, but there was another reason that you went to the city. I mean, besides...
A Burning Man Street Carnival Fair.
Burning Man Street Carnival Fair.
Slash Decompression.
Slash...
It's called Decompression, but it's like they block off a street, Mariposa.
Is this in the city?
Yeah. It's,
Oh, that's right, because Burning Man started in San Francisco.
It's on the inside of the bay.
It should be right next to Hayden Beach. That's where it should be.
Baker Beach?
Or whatever, yeah.
It was Baker Beach. It's down the it's on the bay side of the city, the east side,
right?
And it's, I would say, like 18th Street in Mariposa. That's where it is.
So it's just a big block party.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of camps bring their art cars and artworks and set up exhibits and cool interactive.
A kinds 2 block of stuff. Long Burning Man.
Yeah, they had like these. One thing they set up was the books. Like the books, like, and it was called Questions, so you like write a question in a book. And so, of course, I wrote, "Why don't you go fuck yourself?"
Your favorite question.
Yeah, and then the other one is, thank you, Fad Zed. And the other question is, I was sitting around at home alone in the dark listening to Morrissey, and I wondered, why am I so depressed?
Are people supposed to answer the questions?
No, I just think, you know, it's. Things to think
about.
That'd
be cool, though, if you could come along, you write a question, and you find one to answer.
Well, maybe I'll look for those next year and see.
That'd be neat.
Because the books were pretty unfilled. And one of my friends, Amanda, is like, you should just write, why don't you go fuck yourself on every page? I'm like, no, I should get a stamp made. It says, why don't you go fuck yourself?
And stamp every page.
And stamp every page is what I should do. Because I want somebody that's like that scene in The Shining where Shelley Duvall is looking at, oh, working on a Playmates jacket, oh boy. And then somebody just to flip the page and go, why don't you go fuck yourself? Why don't you go fuck yourself? Why don't you go fuck yourself? Ah! Or,
oh, that'd be cool.
I wonder how they did that for that movie because.
What do you mean?
Well, somebody obviously had to type it.
Yeah. Because every page is different. He types it in different formats every time. It's in a different little format. Sometimes it's block, sometimes it's left paragraph priority, sometimes right paragraph priority, sometimes it's centered, sometimes it's like broken in the middle of two columns. That's why the art department has assistants. Somebody did that.
They printed it.
No, somebody typed it all. There's probably one master copy. It's Kubrick. Somebody probably typed all that shit out so that it's on that type of paper and so that it actually has the indentations for when he does a close-up on whatever page he wants, whatever page gets cut in, it's going to look like it was typed.
They probably had to take it in shifts. Like, okay, it's your turn.
I doubt it, man. You could type that stuff out literally. I mean, if you knew what you're doing, you had two or three assistants working on it, you could have those guys do what they needed to do within like an 8-hour shift. Three guys get one ream, like one box, because that's all she had to go through was one box of that paper. Yeah. You know, so you're talking about 250-300 pages? No big deal. They just have to stay at it all day. That's all.
How many pages are in this ream of paper I have here?
Probably 250 or
500. Yeah. Give it a 500 thing. So yeah, the street carnival was cool, and I didn't take enough pictures or any. So that was good. They also had, one guy brought a thing like, you missed the dust? So he had a little chamber where you walked into, and you go in there and get fly dust all over you.
Nice.
And of course we did that. Where you can't wait to get it out, but when you miss it, you're like, "Ooh, I'm dusty." It's so dumb.
But that's what apparently people like it.
That's the thing about Burning Man is, I would say, enjoyable frivolity would be two great descriptors. Labor-intensive, enjoyable frivolity. Four words. Anyways, you could use any number of words to describe it.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, we drank some Jaeger and walked around, and I think we were there for we did a full shift. 8 hours, drinking and dancing. And
who was with you, Sean?
Jennifer, Amanda, and Jane, my sister.
Oh, so Sean didn't even wasn't there.
Yeah, Sean had to go to San Diego to catch up with his family. And I would go since I'm leaving California in a short period of time.
You're leaving California?
Well, he is. So it's like, might as well go to San Diego. I don't think he's been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So hopefully it's probably at least sunny enough during the day. I'm sure it's cooler at night down there this time of year, but you can get
it. It never gets that cool at night.
It was when I was there in September when I went to visit Nina, dude. It was chilly at night.
Really?
Yeah, you get some sun during the day, but once the sun went down, man, it got cold. Because you're right by the water, dude, so there's always that cold breeze. You're
also right by the desert, too.
Yeah, but it's cold. When I was there,
that would make it cold.
Yeah. And when I was there, we were mostly by the water, so that's extra cool at night. We stayed in Ocean Beach.
No, the beach does get cool at night. You're right. I mean, I noticed that year round.
You go downtown.
When I lived in Los Angeles, I went to the beach many times, dead at night, and it's fucking cold.
Yeah. That's why there's all those fires going around.
That's where everyone wears those fucking Spicoli sweaters.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What else was there? Yeah, just some cool stuff. Just the usual Burning Man stuff. People all dressed up in their gear, man. I didn't really do that. I didn't take my shirt off for the first time in San Francisco.
You did?
Because it was actually warm enough to warrant not wearing a shirt for someone like me who lives in Sacramento. It was actually hot there.
You should have shirt-cocked it. Just taking off your pants.
I almost did that to get $10 off my entrance.
I said, shirt-cockers got $10 off?
Well, if you were wearing Burning Man gear, like playa wear, you know, you got a discount.
How much was it?
$10 to get in. $20.
Okay.
So I was only wearing like my Green Gorilla Lounge T-shirt that I got from Jennifer and Amanda were in that camp. They gave it to me when I was there. And that's all I was wearing, you know, my pants. And I'm like, I'd have to shirt cock to get in to save $10, you know. And there's freaking naked dudes all over the place. You're like, hey, great, right on. But this one guy that gave us a ride that we met walking down the street to buy beer and Jaeger before we were going there is like, you guys look like you're going to the Burning Man decompression. Yeah. I'm talking to him. Yeah, how you doing? You guys want a ride? I'm going to Safeway and then I'm going over there. Oh, okay. His name was Moose. A little quiet dude with like a grown in mohawk a little bit. And so we hung on him, went to the store, and he gave us a ride over there. Hung on for a while. And he had this furry bag. It was like a costume you tied over your head, but it also you'd store your gear in it.
Ah.
And he was also wearing like a vest. And I go, can I wear that in? So he let me wear the lion head.
Did you get $10 off?
Yeah. And so I got sweet. I got my discount because
you wore a lion.
I'm cheap and poor. I'm frugal and poor. I wouldn't call myself cheap. If I was cheap, I'd have a lot more money than I do right now. So anyways...
If you were cheap.
Anything else you want to update on for this episode A of Cougar Saison?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
Right on.
I have some stuff I might want to throw in, who knows when, but, you know, there's stuff boiling on my proverbial figurative stovetop, but nothing at the moment.
All right, well, I'm going to
play a message from...
let's just see if we can get this to play directly. So keep talking, and I'll tell you when I'm ready.
All right, well, I'll discuss this. I was having a couple of drinks at my place of employment, and as I was leaving, I'm riding down the alley, and I find this book in the street. It's been rolled over several times by cars already, and it says...
Yeah, I'm at the corner of...
Hold on.
I see you. Forget it.
That's Shano's message.
End of message. To delete this message, press 7. To save it in the archives, press 9. To hear more options, press 0. Next message.
Hi, Jeff. Jeff is Dean. I'm going to work Tuesday morning. I want to thank you for being such a good, loyal fan and then a good friend to me. Separate, get together things. Jeff, thank you for coming to shows. I got a show not until October 25th and 26th. There are two shows. The one on the 26th, that's going to be fun at the Java Lounge. And then 25th, Thursday, is at the Fox and Goose. And that could be silly. But Thursday and Friday, October 25th, 26th, Fox and Goose, and then the Java Lounge. And then Jane, I don't have Jane's phone number, so I wrote her an email, but I'm assuming she never checks the Maryland's booking email, booking@maryland.com, or marylandsonk.com. I sent her a few emails because I don't have her phone number. Can you tell her that, yeah, I'm sorry, terribly sorry, Jane, and I love her. And I am booked up until like January with a bunch of stupid shows. I could play something in there, but I don't have any plans on playing any dates specifically until like January, February. So I'd love to book something January, February, but I don't have Jane's number. I suppose I could just call Maryland's or tell her to email me because I'm always up in this computer emailing. I'm about to walk into my job. My cubicle job. So, Jeff, happy Tuesday, and a couple shows a few weeks down the road. I'd love to hear that iPod, which, send me the link. Oh, you don't got internet. Well, which one? I'll check your website.
End of message. To delete this message, press 7. To save it in the archives, press 9.
That's hilarious.
Always something good from Dean. Dean, a state worker / musician / hilarious phone voicemail message leaver.
Monday, 1:41 p.m.
Hello, Tofei, how you doing? Sitting at a train station in Richmond. I have to take a shit. And, the Burning Man 3 fare was pretty good. We can talk about that a little bit in the next show. I'm going to be working tomorrow, but if you want to get a show up and stuff, that'd be a good idea. Anyways, give me a call back. Be bored off my ass on fucking Amtrak. Later.
You can hear the train.
Awesome. Want to end it?
Yeah. I think so. How is it?
Good. Want to save that for later?
Save what, this? Yeah, I don't know.
Cougar season.